Open our Bibles over here to John chapter 15. While you're opening there, I will just talk just very briefly about our ministry. And I think maybe tomorrow night or Friday night, we got a video that we'll be able to show you about our ministry. But we are church plant missionaries. We've actually been church plant missionaries in South Dakota from 1999 till 2013. The Lord allowed us then to go to Africa. And then from about the latter part of 2015, we came back to the States. And in this interim, while we've been waiting to go back to Africa, the Lord's allowed us to plant another church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the Falls International Baptist Church. Now, I was a church plant before I went to Africa. I was a church planter there. We started two churches, and one town about 500 people, another town about maybe 800 people. And when you're working with white America, and you say, what do you mean white America? I mean white people is what I mean. Amen. When you're working with white people in America, it's not the same as working with Africans. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes you feel like you're beating your head against a wall. You knock on doors, they slam the door in your face. You know, they find out you're from the Baptist church. They don't want you coming by. And I mean, we labored, our first church plant, we labored 14 years. And when we left, the church was at its high point with 46 people, and we were walking in high cotton, had 25 missionaries. I mean, it was like, praise the Lord. And then went to Africa, and in 5 months, we saw really more people saved in 5 months than we saw in 14 years in small-town America. And you know, then God, again, led us back there at Sioux Falls. While we're waiting to go back to Africa, he allowed us to plant the Falls International Baptist Church. And that church is a church of immigrants. We had labored for all those years just 4 hours north of there. Oh, Russian immigrants and German immigrants and Norwegian immigrants and all those old white people. Amen. And that's hard. But man, we got started in Sioux Falls and we had all these African immigrants. I started just pulling over asking people, man, where are you from? Eritrea, Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan, South Sudan. And the Lord allowed us to start a church, and in 2.5 years, and I say to God be the glory, but in 2.5 years, pre-COVID, so in about 2 years, we were already running between 80 and 90 people. I'm talking about consistent every Sunday morning, about 40 to 50 on Sunday evenings. We saw 66 people make professions of faith. And I'm not into easy believism. I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But we saw 66 people make professions. And what you say, well, did they all get it? Well, I don't know. Amen. That's between them and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, the good majority of them got baptized and are still at the church and serving the Lord up there. Amen. And so God did a great work. But he opened the door for us to turn that work over to Jeremy Holloway, who was also a missionary to East Africa and had to come home and can't go back there. And so God opened that door. He took the work. And by the good grace of God, we're going back to Africa. Amen. January the 4th of next year, we're on this very quick furlough. And I'm glad God's worked it out. We can come by to the church here and get to meet Brother Rutledge and his family again and get to meet y'all. Amen. And looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in this missions conference. And I'm going to tell you up front, as we're turning over to John chapter 15, I am not going to be preaching about money this week. I am not going to be preaching about giving this week. You say, preacher, you're not. It's missions and faith promise commitments. I ain't preaching about money. I ain't preaching about giving. I promise you. I'm not being funny. I'm not preaching about that. If God leads Brother Brian to preach, that's wonderful. But that's not where he's led me at all to preach this week. In fact, this whole furlough, I didn't want to go on furlough. I'm going to be honest with you. I wanted to go right back to Africa because that's where my heart is. And I wanted to get back there, but God made it clear. We turned the church over. We got a son get married in June, probably another one get married later this year, and thought, well, maybe we ought to stay around for those before we go back. But then my wife got diagnosed with cancer, and God just really confirmed it. Then we couldn't go back to Africa, and so we began planning out furlough in earnest, and God's already worked through all that. God's healed her of the cancer from start to finish, a little over 6 weeks. We thank God for that. But I believe God wants me on furlough, and I'm going to tell you why. You say to raise support. No, not to raise support. If y'all take us on, praise God. If not, God will take care of us. I believe God put us on this furlough to sound the alarm. We've got to sound the alarm. I'm telling you guys, and I'm not going to preach along these lines so much tonight because I want to preach to the church tonight and our responsibility right here. Amen. But I want to just say here this evening, and before I go any further, am I on or am I off? Am I on? Okay, all right. I can't ever remember if I turned that thing or not. Okay, he's nodding, so I think we're good. Normally, I start preaching, and I think, man, the guy in the back's getting all happy. He's shouting and praising God. Then I rise, he's telling me to turn the microphone on. Amen. All right, so we are on. Okay, I'm just going to give you a couple of statistics, and then we're going to read John 15 and really try to set the foundation for my part of this meeting. 1950, that's the year that my father was born. Those 2.5 billion people on this planet. Today, my father, 71 years old, there's almost 9 billion people on this planet. That means the population has tripled in my father's lifetime on this planet. In 1950, the United States of America was sending out 100,000 missionaries around the world. Now, that's under the evangelical umbrella, not just independent Baptist, but anything that considered itself evangelical in 1950. That, of course, doesn't count the Catholics and things like that, but that's the numbers that they had. Today, the same evangelical umbrella, we're sending out 30,000 missionaries. What I'm telling you is that, and God's got me on this furlough to sound the alarm, from 1950 to 2021, my father's lifetime, he's 71 years old. The population of the world has tripled. The missionary force going out of the United States of America has declined by 66%. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm going to tell you something. All the money in the world and all the giving in the world, and I'm for missions given, I'm for faith promise given, I believe in it, I practice it. But all the money in the world cannot replace men on the ground. All the giving in the world cannot replace men who are going. We need missionaries. We need men, women, boys, and girls who will raise up their hands and say, "Here, my Lord, send me." We don't need God to call missionaries. Listen to what I'm saying. God is already calling missionaries through the pages of His Word. We need people to start listening to the call of God again. Amen. I believe strongly in a general call of God. I'll preach on that tonight, that every Christian has a part of. I believe in the special call of God, where God calls a man to the ministry, where God calls a man to the mission field. I don't believe that the reason our mission fields are emptying at our current trends right now, this is real-time statistics, per right before COVID, the last time I researched this, right before COVID, and it hadn't got better during COVID. Right before COVID, following that 70-year trend at that point, now 71-year trend, at our current trend of missionaries coming off the field and replacing them with the missionaries that are going to the field, the missions program in the United States of America will flatline in 10 years. I'm not making that up. I promise you. I've got mission board presidents that are good friends of mine. Amen. There are good men, much better men than I, that research these numbers. And I'm telling you, this isn't Al Gore saying the whole earth's going to flood because of global warming by 2015. This is real time. The missions program out of the United States will flatline by 2031 if we don't get this thing turned around. And I don't think any of us are going to stand in heaven one day and be able to point the finger at God and say, "God, you weren't calling people." You remember, I don't know how many of y'all here ever met Brother Stennett Ballou, but Brother Stennett Ballou would always say something real similar to this. He'd say, "What kind of a God would send His Son to die on the cross in the awful manner that He did and then failed to send men to go tell people about Him?" Amen. What kind of a God would do that? It's not God who does not call. It is man who will not respond. I'm saying, and if the Lord lets me, by Friday night, hopefully I'll be able to preach on the special call of God. I really want to. Amen. And deal with the thought, are you called yourself with that special call? And I just believe there's a fundamental misunderstanding when it comes to the call of God, and we'll talk about that. But we've got to have men and women and boys and girls who are willing to go. And so I want to start tonight by dealing locally, and we'll be talking more about the general call of God that every Christian has. John chapter number 15, John 15, and I do promise you, I have been on this side of the pulpit many times, and I've been on that side of the pulpit many times. Amen. I have. Amen. And the time always goes super fast up here, and it always goes super slow down there. Amen. And I understand that. And so I am going to try tonight, for your sake and for my stomach's sake, not to preach too long. I really want to hear Brother Bryant preach. Amen. And excited about that. But let's go ahead and just look at a few things here in John 15. John 15, I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 17. The Bible said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, we've been introduced, and you know this, if you've read your Bible at all, He just introduced us to the concept of fruit and then more fruit. Now, watch this. He said, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth," watch that, "much fruit." You know, if you've read this passage, you've seen this already. But I want to remind you of that. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. "For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Boy, I want to preach right there, but I can't, all right? I'll just say that's not a blank check promise for anything. That's a blank check promise in relation to bearing fruit. Amen. If you're bearing fruit, more fruit, much fruit, you're abiding in him, you can ask what you will and it'll be done. God will give you what it takes to bear fruit for his glory. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear. Here it is again. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear fruit. It's not what he said. More fruit? No, he said much fruit. My Father's glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. You can't be his disciples if you're not bearing much fruit. Amen. That reminds me of when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Amen. You can't be a disciple if you're not fruit bearing. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now watch verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. We've went from fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and now fruit that should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then one more verse. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now. Lord, I'm so thankful to be able to be here at Unity Independent Baptist Church with Pastor Rutledge. I'm thankful for the folks that are here tonight, the other missionaries that are here tonight. Lord, Brother Bryant and his wife, being able to meet them. Lord, I'm looking forward to a good week of fellowship. Lord, if we walk out of this week just saying, man, we got some good fellowship and exhorted one another, that'd be wonderful. But God, I pray, Lord, that you'd put your hand upon this meeting. God, I pray that thy spirit would touch hearts and challenge hearts through the preaching of the word of God as I preach, as Brother Bryant preaches, as I preach tomorrow, as Brother Bryant preaches tomorrow, and so on throughout the week. God, work and move. Lord, may there be eternal fruit that is born of this meeting, I pray. That's our prayer. That's our heart. Lord God, work and move, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice several things from the text by way of introduction, and I'm going to try to roll as fast as I can. The theme of this text, if you didn't figure it out reading that, the theme of this part of the chapter that we read is bringing forth fruit. That idea and the words fruit is mentioned 8 times in these 17 verses. We see fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains, 8 times in these 17 verses. Now, as we look at that fruit, there's sometimes lots of spirited debate about what that fruit is, and there's certainly an application here to the fruit of the Spirit. You can't deny that as you look at that there's an application, because two of the fruits of the Spirit are actually spoken of 10 times in the passage. Love and joy is mentioned 10 times in this passage. And so certainly there's application to the fruit of the Spirit. And none of us would ever bear the fruit of souls if we're not first bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We understand that, all right? But the fruit that's primarily spoken of, especially as we get to verse number 16, I believe with all my heart that I could, if I had the time tonight to present a biblical argument to you, I believe I could present a biblical argument that the fruit that verse 16 is talking about is not just the fruit of the Spirit, but it is the fruit of souls. And just as you look at the verse itself, Jesus says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. Boy, anytime you find the word go in the Bible, you ought to study what it's there for. Amen. Many times that word go, it's speaking of the same idea that we have in the Great Commission. Go. Amen. That's why we are here. God chose you. God saved you. God didn't save you. God's not sanctifying you. God's not putting you in a service so that we can sit on our blessed assurance and do nothing for him. God wants us to be fruit-bearing Christians. I believe that. Amen. And so, in Proverbs chapter 11:30, and there's some that would disagree with this, and I'm okay with that. I don't know if I'm old enough now that it just don't bother me, or if it never did. I'm not sure. Amen. But people disagreeing with me doesn't bother me. Amen. But here's what I'm saying, and I hope it don't bother people if I disagree with them. Amen. All right, that's a two-way street. Amen. And I don't mean that in an arrogant kind of way at all. I'm just saying this is what I believe. I believe that this fruit here speaks of souls. Amen. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And I don't believe that's just the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that's the fruit of souls. And Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 30. The Bible said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Amen. And boy, you look at that word, those words, tree of life. Amen. And again, sure, we can talk about the fruit of the righteous being a tree of life and how it's life-giving, but that life-giving is eternal life-giving. Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, when a righteous man is bearing fruit, when he is out bearing fruit, being a testimony for the glory of God, it turns many from unrighteousness and from sin, and they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and for salvation. And then verse number 7, he said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And I want to submit this idea to the church, amen, that we've been ordained by God to bring forth fruit. And God tells us here, and this will get into my first point just a bit, but God says He's glorified as we bear much fruit. And again in verse 7, we don't qualify to be disciples of Christ until we bear much fruit. That's what He said. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we don't qualify to be His disciples until we're bearing that fruit, and not just fruit, and not just more fruit. If you've been saved any length of time, it's the will of God for you to bear much fruit. Amen. And I'm talking about the fruit of souls. Now, right at the beginning of the message, I want to be clear. I don't want you walking out of here discouraged. If you're doing everything you can as a fruit-bearing Christian, and I mean you're bearing love and joy and peace, you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, if you're doing everything you can to try to warn the wicked of his way, if you're doing everything you can to be a witness for the grace of God, you're passing out gospel tracts, you're living in such a way as to where people come to you and ask you what you got that's different from what they have. Amen? You're out there constantly not missing opportunities to share the gospel with people. Listen, I'm not saying tonight, and I don't want it to be misunderstood in this message, that I judge a man or a ministry or a church, amen, by the visible fruit that we see. I'm just simply saying, you may or may not see the fruit in your lifetime. Amen. You may or may not see those that get saved as a result of your ministry. But I guess I want to just lay this premise at the beginning, and that is, you cannot sow the seed of the gospel without reaping a harvest of souls. You can't do it. Amen. It's impossible. I have a garden. I love in the springtime to plant that garden. And when I plant that garden, and when that soil temperature is right, when the moisture content is right, when that sun has shined down and got everything just right, that thing's going to germinate every time. Amen. And properly taken care of, it'll germinate, it'll grow, and one day it'll bear fruit. Amen. Now, I may be moved along. I planted gardens and then moved to a different mission field. Amen. And never got to see, much less enjoy, the fruit from that particular harvest. But when I planted the seed, here's the law of sowing and reaping. Brother Stan Blue said it all the time, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, and the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. Amen.
Right.
You reap more than you sow.
That's
amen.
Right.
And you reap after
that's
you sow.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right?
That's a law. Would you agree that's a law?
Amen.
That is a law. Yeah. And so here's that law. The word of God does not return void,
yeah,
but it shall accomplish that which God said it to do.
Right.
But what did God said His word to do? And the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Amen.
Amen.
The testament of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Right.
The law of the Lord has been devised. Paul tells Timothy, and that from a child thou shalt know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of the law of God is to show a man his need of salvation,
right,
and to save that man, regenerate, yeah, that man, bring that man to a saving knowledge of Christ. And what,
right,
I'm trying to say is, whether you see the fruit or not, as you go out and plant the gospel seed, whether you ever see a person get saved visibly, whether you ever get to baptize a convert physically, whether you ever see him join your church physically, I'm telling you, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're all going to see the fruit of our labors,
amen,
as we were faithful to the,
amen,
word of God. And if we brought forth much fruit in that day, we will have glorified the Father, and there'll be great rewards on that day.
Amen.
I want that to be the context of this message, because I'm going to make a lot of statements about bearing fruit. And if you don't understand that context, you might think Brother Ruckman's saying, if you don't see 25 people saved next week, you're not right with God. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but I am trying to challenge and encourage us in this matter of being fruit-bearing Christian. Here's my question tonight. Here's my message tonight. Are you bearing fruit?
Amen.
Are you bringing forth fruit? That's my message. Amen. Now, I don't want to try to be as real as I can and as practical as I can. And so when I say, are you bearing fruit and are you bringing forth fruit, I mean the fruit of souls. I don't mean the fruit of the Spirit. I mean the fruit of souls. Are you bearing fruit? Amen. And again, going back to that law, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you sow water, God will give the increase. Amen. Are you bearing fruit? Amen. How many of you desire to bear fruit? How many of you like when you go fishing to catch fish? Amen. I sure like to catch fish. Amen. I do. Amen. And if I don't catch fish, it don't mean I quit trying. Amen. I find another hole and start all over again. Amen. Listen, here's what I'm saying. And how many of you want to bring forth fruit? Okay, if I could just talk to Unity Baptist Church. How many members of this church, you say, man, my desire, my heart desire is to see people saved. My heart desire is to bring forth fruit. How many of you want to see sinners saved in large numbers?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know we've got this thing so tricked up in our independent Baptist movement. We've seen guys on this side over here, and I mean they're over here and saying, well, I preached the gospel over here, and 5,000 people held hands, and they prayed a prayer, and they all got saved. Amen.
Yeah.
And we hear all that, okay? And we say, well, that's easy to believe this, all right? So what's happened in our movement is we've run to the other side, amen. And we are so far over here because Baptists, we're just reactionary people. Amen.
Right.
The pendulum swings from that side to this side.
You're right.
There's a ditch on both sides. And
yeah.
So we end up over here and we say, well, that ain't right. And then somebody says, well, I tell you what, I saw 5 people get saved last Saturday on visitation. And we automatically say, that ain't right. 5 people getting saved. What are they doing wrong? They must be easy believism type people. I'm telling you, you know it's bad. When I am a missionary, man. It's not like God just ordained me to go bring forth fruit, but I'm supported by churches to go bring forth fruit. That is my job as a missionary, and it's bad when I almost have to feel like making an apology when I say we had 66 professions of faith, amen, because I'm going to think somebody's going to lay me easy believism over here, amen, amen. I mean, we have people in our churches, we preach so hard against that, and we should have, amen, but we preach so hard against that we got people in our churches that are afraid to give the gospel to somebody. They're afraid, amen, that what do I do if the person says, what must I do to be saved? And I mean, we'd rather see somebody else come down to the altar and deal with them than us dealing with them.
Yeah.
We'd rather see we want to bring them to the pastor, amen.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that if you're saved by the grace of God, God has a job for you, and that's to bring souls to the kingdom, amen.
Yes,
that's
sir.
To bring souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that we did there at Falls International, we tried to do at Falls International, was, man, I had a man that started working with me on day one. He's from South Sudan. He got saved 20 years ago in another ministry, and he's working. Every time that he'd have somebody right at that point, that person wanted to get saved, he'd bring them to me and say, hey, pastor, I need to bring them to you. We need to talk. And I said, John, well, you can do that yourself. And he said, no, I want to make sure it's done right. I said, John, you can do that right yourself. Amen. You can do it right yourself. You can actually win people to Christ yourself.
Right.
It is possible to win a soul to Jesus without bringing them to the pastor. That's what I'm asking the church. Are you trying to do that?
Amen.
Have we preached so hard against that we're afraid to do what God told us to do, what He ordained us to do, what He saved us to do?
Amen.
He's not chosen me to be Baptist Church. I've chosen you.
Right.
And ordained you.
Yes.
That, hey, we have baptism. That's an ordinance. Amen.
Yes.
That's a command.
Right.
Hey, we have the Lord's table. That's an ordinance. That's a command. I've ordained you. That's a null form of an ordinance, a command. Amen.
Right.
To go and bring forth fruit. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we're here. Amen. I'm asking you, do you want to bring forth fruit? Because if you don't want to, because if you're scared to, you probably ain't. I mean, I'm telling you, if you're scared to try to tell somebody how to get saved, you're probably not bringing forth a lot of fruit. Amen. If you're scared to go fishing for souls, amen, because you might accidentally catch a fish, amen, and I'm afraid that fish might make a profession of faith, and then people are going to think I'm an idiot. I'm telling you, man, we're screwed up in our doctrine, amen, when we're afraid to see somebody get saved by the grace of God. Can I tell you, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He assumed that we would bring forth fruit. He just did. Brother Ricky, I don't even know you, but I'm going to call you about it. He assumed we'd bring forth fruit. You say, how do you know that? Because He told us what to do with the one that got saved. He said, baptize them and teach them all things. Amen. He assumed there'd be at least some visible fruit there. Amen. That we'd see. Amen. Because He told us what to do with them. Now, I want to just give you 3 quick points. And man, I've already preached longer than I wanted to, but let me give you 3 quick points here this evening. Number one, bringing forth fruit fulfills your purpose of glorifying God. It just fulfills your purpose, period. Amen. But he said right here in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. Can I tell you that you're on this earth to glorify God? God does not live in heaven to glorify you. God, listen, God's sole purpose is not the happiness of mankind. Amen. Our sole purpose is the happiness of God. Amen. And we make God happy and we bring God joy. Can I just tell you what Jesus said? There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Boy, we always quote that and say the angel rejoicing. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Well, who's in the presence of the angels? God is. Amen. And God rejoices. There is joy when a sinner repents of his sins. You think God died on the cross for sins? You think he gave his son? You think he gave his life? You think he shed his blood and he doesn't get happy when somebody in Amory, Mississippi gets saved? You better believe he gets happy. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God. And so bringing forth fruit. Hey, can I tell you, that's why we're here. So we glorify our purpose. Man, if God just wanted to take us to heaven, brother, song leader, he'd have taken us to heaven. Amen. But he didn't just take us to heaven. He left us here. Why? To go and bring forth fruit. If you're not going and bringing forth fruit, you're not fulfilling your purpose and you can't glorify God. And so if we look at that principle in reverse, if bringing forth much fruit, because that's what he said, glorifies God, then a lack of much fruit dishonors God. You're either glorifying God or you're dishonoring God. Can I just tell you, man, in John 15, verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. And what God say? It's withered. You know what that means? There's no fruit there. He hadn't been abiding in the vine. Amen. And I'll preach on that in just a minute, all right? Watch this. Over in Luke 13, you don't have to turn there because I don't want to go there and read it and take the time because I'll start preaching out of there. Amen. But Luke 13, verse number 6, 7, 8, 9. He gives the parable, and in the context of speaking of Israel, amen. And he gives the parable of the man who went down and he planted that orchard, and he came and there was a tree there, and it wasn't bearing fruit. And he said, 3 years I came, and of course, again, the context of the nation of Israel. But can I tell you, we can have much application to the Church of the Living God, the United States of America, 2021, out of that phrase right there. Can I tell you, Unity Independent Baptist Church could even be applied out of that phrase right there. Amen. He said, these 3 years I come seeking fruit, and I found none. And he said, cut it down.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, it does not bring honor and glory to God when a church is not bringing forth fruit. If preachers are not bringing, he said, cut it down. And boy, that, man, that's the owner saying that. And there's the vineyard keeper there. And he said, hey, or the orchard keeper is saying, just one more year. Let me dig about it. Let me dung it. Can I tell you, I don't know this church. So I'm trying to follow the leadership of the Lord. I promise you, I'm not here to be mean. I don't have a mean bone in my body. I promise you that. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be critical. But I'm telling you, I believe this with all my heart. I'm trying to preach this across the country. But could it be that as I'm on furlough this year, God's saying to some of our churches, let's dig about it and dung it one more year. And if it brings forth fruit, praise God. But if not, cut it down. God is not interested in fruitless Christians. God is not interested in Christians that don't bring, whether it's fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of souls. God's not interested. Amen. Yet your life ought to be making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. For or against souls, but they ought to be making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two, fruit. Fruit, it glorifies God. Number two, fruit comes from the vine. Now that's pretty basic. That's what verse number 4 says. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine no more, can ye except ye abide in me? So he's establishing a principle that fruit comes from a branch that is abiding, that is in the vine. And so Christ is the vine and we are the branches. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If no fruit is coming out of our branches, then it is a telltale sign that our branches are not rooted in the vine. They're not coming out of the vine. For if our branches had been coming out of the vine, they'd bear fruit.
Yeah.
Christ can't be fruitless. It's impossible. Amen. He cannot be fruitless. Amen.
Yeah.
Christ is going to bear fruit. When I go out and see an apple orchard and I go out to those trees, I don't see trees out there that's going, where's an apple? No. They're just apple trees. You know what apple trees do? They just bear apples.
Yeah.
Amen. Can I tell you, when Christians are properly rooted in Christ, when we're abiding in Christ, when our churches are abiding in Christ, can I tell you, a natural byproduct of abiding in Christ is bringing forth fruit.
That's right.
It is.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you, and I know this is a tough statement. I'm not preaching this to the church so much as I am just trying to make this statement. Amen. And I'm trying to tell churches in America what I'm telling you here this evening by way of preaching. But the biggest telltale sign that we are not abiding in Christ in the United States of America is we're not bearing fruit. Where there's no fruit, you're not abiding in the vine. And we somehow, we have tricked ourselves into believing that it's because of the way we minister. And it's almost become like a sign of, I'm a man of God, and I have the presence of God. If I can only say one person got saved this year. That guy at 5,000, he's a compromiser. I got 200, he's a compromiser. I only have one person saved. I must be doing it right. Can I tell you? That don't mean you're doing it right. I'm not here. Man, God puts some of us in hard places. Amen. There's some place where it's just easy to bear fruit. I'm just being honest with you. Amen. Obviously, where there's a lot more people like Ghana as opposed to South Dakota, you're going to see more fruit in Ghana than South Dakota. Amen. Some places, people are hungrier. Some places, the ground of that soil of that heart is more prepared. I get all that. But I'm just telling you, amen, I don't think it's a sign of spirituality. Well, I don't like it when a guy goes on Facebook and says, I went over to this conference and we had 5,000 people get saved last night. They all prayed a prayer. Repeat it after me. God, I don't like that. Amen. But I don't like it either when this guy over here says, let me tell you what, that is wrong and that's wicked and that's easy to believe is. But I want to tell you, I'm so spiritual. We only have one professional faith.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something, friend. If we're not bearing fruit, I'm just telling you, we're advertising we're not abiding in the vine. Because if the branch is abiding in the vine, naturally there's going to be fruit that comes forth. Fruit is automatically born of the branches that are in the vine. Souls are harvested out of our relationship and fellowship with Christ. I'm just telling you, we're at this time. We're at a weird time in history. Weird's my word the last 3 days, Angie. Amen. But we're at this weird time in history. When it's almost like a sign of, man, look how spiritual we are because we're not bearing fruit. That's messed up. We judge a missionary. So that missionary out there had 50 people get saved. He's liberal. Amen. That one's been laboring 4 years, hadn't seen anybody get saved. He's preaching it tight. Amen. Well, he might be preaching it tight. I'm not saying he's not. Amen. But it could be he's not abiding in the vine either. Amen. I'm just being honest with y'all. Amen. I'm against steroid Christianity. I'm against pumping numbers to impress the crowd or to keep support. But I think it's a crying shame to broad brush every ministry in the country that sees souls saved. A lack of bearing fruit isn't bragging rights. It's an advertisement that we're not abiding in Christ. Amen. Can I tell you, you can't spend time. I'm trying to get done. You can't spend time with Christ. You can't be in the presence of Christ. You can't live with Christ day in and day out without hearing His plea and without hearing His passion and without hearing His prayer for the souls of men. You can't spend time with Christ and then come out and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I didn't see anybody get saved this year. You can't do that. You can't because, man, He said, man, the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send laborers. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul spent time with Christ. He said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Do you even have a desire to see people get saved on a local level? Are you trying to fish locally for sinners? Are you trying to witness everywhere you go of the gospel of the grace of God? Amen. I'm just talking about fruit bearing. Are you bearing fruit? Do you want to bear fruit? Do you have a desire? I'm telling you, anymore, I've been, Brother Brian, I think, would testify to this because he's a lot older than I am, and I mean that respectfully, not disrespectfully. And he's been in a lot more church than I've been in. But I'm telling you, I've been in churches, amen, a missionary stand up, a young missionary, he's excited about the field he's going to, and he just has a desire to see a bunch of people get saved, and the preacher's back in the fellowship hall will talk him down when he's gone, amen, and say, well, he must be easy to believe, isn't he? Think he's going to go over there and win all these people to Jesus, amen. Just because he has a desire to see people saved, amen. Let's not dump cold water on some poor missionary before he ever even gets to his field, amen. Man, let's do everything we can to encourage him put some wind on that fire. Say, hey, son, man, keep it right. Amen. Keep the message right. Keep the approach right. Amen. Don't pick them green. Amen. But, son, go out there and get all you can while you can get them for the glory of God. Amen. And then lastly, fruit is born. And here's where I just want to, again, just as quickly as I can, but I want to settle in here just for a moment. We see that much fruit glorifies God. We're not bearing much fruit. We're not glorifying God. Fruit is born out of abiding in Christ. If we're not abiding in Christ, then we ain't bearing fruit. If we ain't bearing fruit, normally it's a telltale sign that we're not abiding in Christ. Amen. Start getting that book. Start reading. Start praying. Get the mind of Christ, the passion of Christ. I'll tell you what will happen. You'll get so burdened, amen, after you start reading after Christ, after you spend time in His presence, that you'll go out and you may get 100 doors slammed in your face, but you're going to be looking for 101. Amen. You say, why? Because you got a passion to see somebody saved by the grace of God. Where'd that come from? Spending time with Him.
Right.
Spending time in this world has never given anybody a true passion to reach somebody with the gospel. But spending time with Christ gives you that passion. It just does. Eh? You can't spend time with Him and not get a burden for souls. Amen. I don't know how you could. Amen. Number three, I want you to turn to John 12:24 and I'll be done. And I'm departing from John 15, but this there's three times those two words, much fruit, are used in the Bible. Twice in John 15 and once in John 12:24. We find that bringing forth fruit glorifies God. Bringing forth fruit is a sign that we're abiding in Christ. But lastly, and this is the tough one right here, bringing forth fruit, fruit is always born out of death. It is. John 12:24. Jesus said here in John chapter number 12 and verse 24, Jesus said here, and I could quote it, but I want to read it to make sure I don't misquote it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, in our previous passage, Christ said that the only way we can bear fruit, He used that word except. You can't bear fruit except you abide in the vine. He uses that same word right here that we can't bear much fruit except we fall into the ground and die. Now, three things, three sub-points, and I promise you I'm done. All right, here we go. Number one, notice His illustration. Notice His illustration. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. His illustration is a corn of wheat, a kernel of corn, a piece of grain. Can I tell you that kernel of corn, just like your life, just like my life, that kernel of corn, that corn of wheat, that piece of grain has no inherent value in its life. Its value is in its death. God has planted a germ of life within the grain that cannot germinate until the grain has been planted into the ground and dies. If that corn of wheat had feelings, he might say, I don't want to die. It hurts to die. I just can't think of a nice way to die. I haven't figured it out yet. Amen. All right. It hurts to die. I don't want to die. But the old outer shell of that grain must be broken down and the process of decay must begin. And if you could see that seed, it would look ugly and it would look nasty because that outer part begins to break down and it begins to swell up and it begins to decay. But you can't see it because it's buried under the ground. Man, there's so much significance in all of that. Amen. You can't see it. Amen. Because it's buried under the ground. But I'm telling you, it's got to be buried in the ground. And once it's buried, it's got to begin to decay and it's got to begin to break down. And once the process of death is complete, that germ of life called resurrection power can spring forth out of that, and there's a new little plant that's growing. Amen. The seed of life has been planted. How? Through the death of that grain. Amen. And so, let me just say a few things. I'm talking about that illustration of the corn of wheat. The kernel cannot be the object of attention. And as long as we have preachers, and as long as we have missionaries, and as long as we have church members, and as long as we have Christians who desire to be the object of attention, we cannot die to ourselves and bring forth fruit to God. We cannot. We've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to be buried in the ground. Amen. And I'm talking about now the ground of humanity. Amen. We need people, amen, that's just willing to dig in, to get buried, to die to self. I don't need to be the object of anybody's attention. I'm just going to die to myself so that I can bring forth fruit for the glory of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it must be buried in the dirt where it cannot be seen before its purpose can be realized. As long as it is visible and as long as it has not fallen into the ground to die, it cannot bring forth much fruit because Jesus said it could. That's another one of those laws. Amen. That's the illustration. Now watch this. And so it's as it falls in the ground, and it's now buried in the ground, and now it dies. Now it can bring forth much fruit because it's fallen in the ground and died. Now watch the interpretation. The illustration was the corn of wheat. Here's the interpretation. The interpretation is Jesus Christ Himself. He says all this in verse 27. Just two verses later, He said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And then watch that next phrase. Father, glorify thy name. Well, how is he going to glorify his name? Because his son is about to die to himself to bring much fruit. And that's how our Father is glorified, through bringing forth much fruit. And so the interpretation is Christ dying on the cross. He's speaking to his disciples. His soul is troubled. And when you get to thinking about these kind of things, it'll trouble you too. When you get to thinking about how we bring forth fruit, and the way that God meant for the Unity Independent Baptist Church to bring forth fruit, and the way that God meant for you as an individual to bring forth fruit, it can be very troubling. Amen. Yeah. He, that word troubled, it means agitated or in turmoil. Christ understood his purpose in this life. He was born to die. Can I tell you, you have been saved to die, to bring forth more fruit and much fruit for the glory of God. His purpose for human existence is about to be realized. He had had a wonderful ministry of healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead. But that's not why he came. Why did he come? Father, glorify thou me. Amen. He came to glorify the Father. And you've been left on this planet to glorify the Father. Amen. And so he came ultimately to bring forth much fruit. He came to seek and to save, in his own words, that which was lost, and he knew it could only be accomplished through him becoming as a corn of wheat and falling into the ground of humanity and literally bleeding and suffering and dying in order that much fruit could be harvested through his death, burial, and resurrection. He was the God-man. Listen to me. He was the God-man, and he himself was troubled at the hour when he, as a corn of wheat, would fall into the ground and die. It troubled him. He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And then lastly, and I'm done, notice not just the illustration and the interpretation. He wouldn't ask you to do something he didn't first do himself. Watch the implication. What's the implication of this whole passage in John 12:24? Dying in the ground, being buried, to bring forth fruit. What's the implication? Verse number 25 is the implication. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The implication. Why the interpretation? Why the illustration? Because of the implication and the application. The whole reason he gave the illustration of the kernel of wheat, the whole reason he talks about himself, amen, and the illustration of himself dying on the cross, it was written for our learning, amen. It was written for the implication. You and I, we've been called to identify. Are you listening? This is easy preaching, but it's hard living. We've been called to identify with the Christ of the cross and the cross of Christ. We're called to identify with him, amen. I have never... Preacher Bryant, and I'm telling you, and I'd love to talk about this with you, because I think you got more wisdom in your hand than I got my whole body. Amen. I like talking to you about some of this stuff throughout this week, but I'm telling you, I have never in my lifetime, I'm 46 years old. I'm a little older than 28. Amen. But I'm a little younger, Brother Bryant. Amen. And I want to say, I have never seen churches so content with not following Christ, not falling into the ground, not dying to self, and not bringing forth much fruit, and saying, man, we're right with God. Amen. I mean, and this is the example. Amen. This is where you ought to be as a church. I've never seen it like it is today. It's almost a paradox the way people act about this kind of stuff. But I want to tell you, we've got comfortable. Listen to what I'm telling you. We are called to identify with the Christ of the cross. We're called. If you're saved here tonight, I told you I'm not preaching about faith, promise, given. Amen. I'm preaching about you. Are you bearing fruit? If you're saved tonight, you have been called, whether God ever calls you to be a missionary to another country, whether God ever calls you to be a pastor of a church, if you're saved, you have been called upon to fall into the ground of humanity and die to your comforts, to your conveniences, amen, to our colleges and careers, to our desires and dreams. You say, are you against it? I'm not against it. I'm just saying we need to be willing to die to all that stuff. Amen. And we need to come to the place where we're willing to die to plans and places, just like that corn of wheat. Die to our desires in order to bring forth much fruit. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with desires. There's nothing wrong with dreams and goals. But if those things are keeping me from bearing much fruit, then they've got to go. Anything that keeps me from bearing fruit, more fruit and much fruit, and I'm talking about the fruit of souls, if it keeps me from witnessing, if it keeps me from fishing for Christ, if it keeps me from being a witness, can I tell you, if faith, and this is a hard statement to make, and I hate to make this because I'm talking to misquoted,
But if my faith promise mission's giving, amen, if I'm so focused on my faith promise mission's giving, amen, that I can be satisfied with not going, then I think the giving needs to cut out a little bit. Yes. Going needs to increase a little bit. Yes. Amen. We somehow we've replaced our local going, knocking doors, visitation, handing out tracts, wanting to bear fruit by just writing a check, putting it in the plate and saying, my duty's done for the month, my commitment's been given for the year, and my city tithing goes to hell, and my county tithing goes to hell, and we're paying Brother Ruben to go reach out and go with the gospel. Yep. I'm telling you, and I'm all for you giving the missions. I'm not against that, but I'm telling you, if my giving, amen, somehow gets in the way of my going, then the giving's got to go so I can go. Glory to God.
Amen. We have got to come to the place, amen, where we're willing to die to self, where we're willing to die to sin. Hey, we got to get missionaries. We need a revival just of missionaries that are willing to die, period.
Right.
You say, what do you mean die, period? I mean die, like physically die, amen.
Yeah.
48% of our world's never heard the gospel one time.
Right.
Until we get a generation that's willing to go and stay, and if so be, they've got to be buried literally like Livingston was and so many others in the ground,
sir,
in order to bring forth much fruit. Until we have missionaries with that kind of urgency and with that kind of a burden for souls, amen, countries will still go unreached and millions will still die unreached ever with the gospel of Christ. We need a generation that's willing to die to sin and self at home, to die, amen, so that much fruit can be born out of our death. Amen. Jesus said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. You love your life, and you get satisfied with your life, and you get satisfied with fruitlessness, and you get satisfied with the status quo. Somehow we've got our churches, and everything I'm about to say, I'm for, Brother Brian. Amen. And I'm telling you, I'm for the King James Bible. Amen. I'm for dress standards in and out of church. Amen and amen. I'm for being an independent, fundamental, preaching on hellfire, brimstone, Baptist. I'm for all of that. Amen. I'm for having a qualified man of God stand behind the pulpit of God and preach the word of God. But I'm going to tell you, somehow we've got ourselves in a ritual. We're happy in our churches. We're satisfied because we have a King James Bible preacher. We have a preacher that preaches standards. We have a preacher that keeps the doors open 3 times a week. We have a preacher that's qualified behind the pulpit. We have our little place where we can go, hear the word of God. Everybody walks right and spits white. Amen. And we have no burden for souls. We have no... No, it's like that's the end game. Can I tell you that's not the end game? All of that was part of getting to the end game.
Yeah,
we were supposed to have all that in place, amen, so that we could go out of that church where all of that was in order, amen, and reach a world that's lost and dying with the gospel of the grace of God, amen. And I'd hate to stand before God and have to stand there and have loved my life and I love my ritual and I love my comfort and I love my career and I love my desires and my plans and I had it all mapped out and I was in a good church while I was doing it. It was a fire-breathing independent Baptist prayer and we had it all right, amen. Yeah. I'd hate to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and find out on that day I saved my life on this side. But I lost it on that. I'm not talking about losing your soul, amen. I'm talking about losing your reward for loving Jesus Christ. You say, well, I won't have those crowns. Can I just tell you what some of those crowns are going to be? We got this idea in our heads, amen. And it's because we write it by the word of truth, amen. I get it. We got this idea in our head, amen, that there's going to be this crown that goes on this guy's head and this crown on that guy's head and this crown, and then somehow we're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus. Can I tell you what Paul said his crown was? Paul said, you know what my crown of rejoicing is? You know what my crown of joy is? He said, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? What he was saying is, when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he said that to the Philippians and the Thessalonians. Thank you, brother. Amen. That's the one I can. Amen. He said to them both. Amen. He said, are not even ye. Amen. He was looking forward to standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and having the fruit of souls surrounding him. And I'm telling you, you talk about casting fruit back at the feet of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
All right, the football, he died for him. I didn't. I just gave him the gospel. He's the one that died for him. Amen.
Right.
I'm telling you, man,
right.
I think every Christian, if you got someone on your street that hadn't gotten the gospel, I'd walk out of here before tomorrow night service. I'd be giving them the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
We've preached so hard. I'm just telling you, God, I'm trying to bring some reason back to churches. Amen. We've preached so hard against soul winning.
Yeah.
We because of easy believism.
Yeah.
Just a simple study of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Paul said, I wanted to gain the weak. Check out the word gain, what it means. Amen. He said, I wanted to gain. I mean, he goes to the Greek. I wanted to gain the Jew. I became as a weak, to one that he goes through, and he used that word gain, I think, 6 different times in 1 Corinthians 9. And you know, he gets to the end of that, and every time he used that word gain, that's speaking of a cruel,
That is speaking of, he's talking about gaining rewards. Amen. He was doing what he was doing because he wanted to do what he was doing, because he knew that was the only chance he might gain a sinner that he could have as a reward to cast at the feet of Jesus Christ, of the judgment seat of Christ. I'm telling you, amen. And he got so serious about it. I mean, that Paul, the great apostle Paul, I mean, if someone walked up to me and said, "Brother Robin, you saved that guy," I'd say, "Let me correct you, son, I didn't save you, Jesus did." But Paul actually uses the term. Paul said, "I became as this to this man that I might gain this man. I became this to this man that I might gain this man. I became this to this man that I might gain this man. That by all means I might save some." Right. That's the wording he used. Right. Paul wasn't afraid of bearing fruit. Paul wasn't afraid of fishing for souls. Right. Paul wasn't content with doing anything less than that, because that's why God saved him. He understood, "I've been ordained and I've been put on this planet for this purpose." You may not be an apostle Paul. You may not be a missionary to Africa. You may not be a missionary to some other part of the world. But can I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have that same general call.
Right.
You have that same general purpose. You have that same general ordainment. Amen.
Right.
To go and bring forth fruit. The greatest example
in the New Testament of your Bible of a missions movement, I believe it, is in Acts chapter number 8, verse 4. When God brought persecution to the early church, the Bible said in verse 4, "And they went everywhere preaching the gospel." Amen.
Yeah.
That wasn't the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists. That was every child of God, amen, that has a part of that general call of God to go into all the world. They don't mean they're standing behind pulpits, pastoring churches, but they was persecuted. They went out, and that's men, women, boys, and girls, went everywhere preaching the gospel. Amen. God give us a generation in Amory, Mississippi, at this church. Amen. God give us a generation in this country of churches that'll get on fire for God and realize we are here to glorify God by bringing forth much fruit. I can't do it if I don't abide in Him, and I can't do it if I'm not willing to die to self. But Lord, I'll lay my life down on an altar and say, "Hear my Lord. Oh God, I'll die to self. Lord God, I purpose tonight to commit my life to You, to abide in You again, that I might bring forth much fruit to glorify God." Can I tell you?
Amen.
There's a judgment day coming. And we're not being judged for sins. We're being judged for stewardship. And you say, what kind of judgment is it? It's not a judgment that I'm afraid of in the sense, why the terror of God's going to come on me. And No. It's an award ceremony that I could be very ashamed at. That I could be very ashamed at. If I stand there and have no fruit to give to the one that saved me, if I have no first fruits, if I have no general harvest in my life, if I have no gleanings, if I have nothing in my life to give to Him who died for me, man, that old song used to be sung years ago when I was a kid, and I don't hear it much anymore. I sang, "Must I go in empty-handed?" I'd hate to go in empty-handed because I didn't do my best to try to abide in Christ and die to self to bring forth much fruit for the glory of God. Let's pray, and I'll call on the preacher. Heavenly Father, please now work in our hearts and work in our lives. Lord, I know I've preached what You've wanted me to preach, Lord. I've given the burden of my heart, and I know, Lord God, a much greater, and I say this with all due respect, a much greater man of God is going to stand behind this pulpit. And Lord, continue preaching in just a moment. God, may our hearts be open. May they be receptive to the sweet Spirit of God as You work in our lives. God, I pray that You would put something in our hearts, God, that we would respond, Lord God, to these messages, oh God, to be fruit-bearing Christians for the glory of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.